Welcome into the Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers along with Shannon Brenius. Thanks for joining us, and we are counting down the days. It is just under, 11 days until the Race to the Clouds, the 99th running of the Broadmoor Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, brought to you by Gran Turismo. Of course, you can get flag-to-flag coverage of the race Sunday, June 27th, here on KRDO News Radio, starting at 5. Joining us this hour is Megan Lathan, the race director, the head honcho over at the Hill Climb. And Megan got the full name in once. I don't know if I could get it properly for the rest of the hour. Just full disclaimer.
It is quite the name, but yeah. Thank you so much for having me today.
Exactly. And of course, you know, the race is a legendary race. It is the second oldest auto race in North America, in the U.S., right behind the Indy 500. And for those who may not know all things about the hill climb, let's do just a little bit of Pikes Peak International Hill Climb 101.
Absolutely. Well, as you mentioned, this race started in 1916, so that is just incredible if you think about the history and the legacy of the event itself. The course itself is 12.42 miles, and there's 156 turns. One of the craziest parts about it is just the elevation. Where they start is 9,390 feet, and then they finish at 14,115 feet. So from a competitor standpoint, preparing your car for all of those elements makes this one of the most unique races in the world.
And temperature changes, too, because even from the bottom to the top, you might have a very vastly different temperature gradient.
Absolutely. It's not out of the question that it's sunny at the start line and snowing at the summit.
Exactly. Or snowing at the summit for one racer, hailing for the next, raining for one. I mean, it goes through all four seasons on the mountain. Of course, it is a one-way time trial rally race, one of the most prestigious rally races in the world. It's been a proving ground for so many auto manufacturers throughout the history of auto racing. And of course, the biggest competitor on race day is always the mountain itself, because who knows what Mother Nature, what Pikes Peak will actually throw at these drivers who think, hey, you know, I'm going to race up the side of this.
Absolutely. We always have a saying at the office is the mountain decides. That goes for us from an operational standpoint, just trying to put a race on a race course you don't own, a venue you don't own that's a mountain, but let alone what the competitors go through. You know, we have no idea what the mountain will do, and nature is always very humbling. And for example, last year we were all set to go, and we had a 2-hour ice delay before the race even started because of weather conditions the night before that caused ice at the top. So the mountain decides, and what's so unique for these competitors is, although we have practice days and tire testing and everything leading up to it, they really only get one shot. Mm-hmm. They get one shot, one course, once a year. The competitors don't see the full course until actual race day. So for them, it is just, it's putting together and compiling all the tweaking and tuning they've done with their vehicle, all their practice day runs for one shot.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the race being as long as it has, it's seen a lot of history as well, some historic names, but it's also undergone a lot of changes as well. It started off as a full dirt course, then it went to that hybrid course, some dirt, some paved, and now it is fully paved, which has really changed the dynamic for those drivers as well as they head up.
Absolutely. That has been one of the largest changes. And what we're seeing is, as you kind of mentioned, Andrew, a new proving ground for manufacturers. Obviously, Volkswagen came out, 2000, and it was 3 years ago, and they came out to beat the overall record. And really, they used that to springboard Volkswagen's long-term plan to move from gas to electric vehicles. And that all started because of their victory on Pikes Peak.
Exactly. Yeah, the electric automobile is really having much more prevalence on the mountain these days, because they don't have to deal with the air density changes, with the lack of compression or changes as you're having that steep elevation change. It's constant as far as the electric motors.
Absolutely. It's really exciting to see those vehicles on Pikes Peak, but they also have their own challenges, such as, you know, powering their vehicle, mm-hmm. and how long will the power hold. So it's really unique to kind of watch this transition as we go.
And meanwhile, you said the mountain decides, but last year, the pandemic decided what a major change that was for the racers not to have those people on the sidelines.
Yeah, last year was obviously an interesting year for all parties. You know, we were, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of this, but preserving the history and the legacy of this event was at the forefront of our minds as an organization. And I think the easy thing would have been to do to cancel last year. It would have just been easy. But, you know, we were like, I think we can do it. We can, you know, redo all of our protocols. Obviously, we weren't allowed to have spectators. And, you know, it was so hard not to have the most loyal fans on the hill. But we were able to do it. We pushed it off 2 months. We had it in August and we did it safely. We followed all the protocols and that was the 98th running. And I was really proud that we were able to pull it off in the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly. You know, and it definitely made up for the lack of spectators, the crews themselves. I remember, you know, I was at the start line broadcasting the race and all those crews, as long as they weren't actively working on a car, were trying to run over and give as much support to all the other drivers making that start. And it had that feel that they were trying to do it, that because they're all there banding together, knowing they're all competing against one entity.
Yeah, that's what's so unique about Pikes is all the competitors. It really is. Well, I'm not a competitor, obviously, but it really is the camaraderie up there. Everyone kind of knows if you run Pikes Peak that the challenges, the uniqueness of it. And although they're competing against each other, they're all there for themselves. They're all there for each other as well, helping each other. As you mentioned, everyone's crew was limited last year too, Andrew, because we could only have so many people. So they were all pitching in, helping each other. And I think for the competitors, there's no other moment than when they're at the summit, when they know that they've reached the top and then they see their friends up there too. I mean, that is one of the most special things that they have.
Exactly.
Right. And there's no redoing it. Once you're at the top, that's it.
Yep.
Yep. And speaking of the summit, there's more challenges again this year. There's a brand new summit complex that is almost finished being constructed, but that's also playing a challenge. I know it was just a week or so ago that you were able to even get to the summit to be able to see how it'll work as far as getting spectators parking for the racers and the whole waiting area.
Yeah, logistically, we have had some challenges, but the good news is we are working hand in hand with Pikes Peak America's Mountain, the city, GE Johnson. They are working so tirelessly to get the summit house open and then to get the construction area at the top suitable for a finish line, a safe runoff for our competitors. And then, as you mentioned, parking, we do have to have, you know, places to park the competitor vehicles once they do summit. So it's coming down to the wire, but we are confident that everything will work out. And again, thanks to all of our friends working so hard. They know the importance of this race and they're doing everything they can.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot to talk about as we gear up for the Race to the Clouds. It is on Sunday, June 27th. It is the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, the 99th running. And, of course, you can get flag-to-flag coverage of the race starting at 9 on Sunday, June 27th, here on KRDO News Radio. More of our conversation with Megan and everything Hill Climb still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, and we're talking with Megan Lathan, the executive director of the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, as there is another race director who is the rules guru, so definitely don't want to step on anyone's toes, but there is a lot to talk about with Megan as we get ready for the 99th running of the Broadmoor Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, brought to you by Gran Turismo, that you can listen to live on KRDO News Radio Sunday, June 27th, starting at 7. We'll be on the air until the last racer comes off of America's Mountain. And Megan, let's talk about the race itself, what we can expect, who's coming, the divisions. You know, let's talk about the actual sport and get into some of the technical race parts.
Sure. Well, we are super excited about the field this year. To be 100% honest, we weren't sure how this year was going to shape up.
Yeah.
Next year is our 100th running, so we know a lot of huge manufacturers and whatnot are geared up and getting ready for that. And then obviously when we opened registration in November, the pandemic was still at the forefront. So we are thrilled about the field this year. It is really exciting. We have Romain Dumas coming back, and he currently holds our overall record that he broke with the Volkswagen, but he is coming back in a Porsche Club Sport, and that should be a really exciting entry. Let alone we have Reese Millen coming back in a Bentley, and they're both in Time Attack 1, so they are going to be facing off, and that's going to be a really good battle between those two. I mean, I could go on and on. The field has so many great stories, and that's what makes Pikes Peak so unique. You know, Andrew, we have the manufacturers that put in millions and millions of dollars and have huge crews and come up and you know, tackle pikes much differently than maybe the local person that has been racing 20 years and works on his car with two other people in the back of the garage. But that's what makes Pikes Peak so unique, and that's what makes Pikes Peak so cool. And you know what's awesome? Sometimes the local person that has the crew of two ends up beating the manufacturer with a team of 100.
You know, like last year when, you know, the winningest driver, Clint Vacholtz, won King of the Mountain. And now he's handing over the reins to the four-wheel team to his son, Cody, who's going to be in a four-wheel for one of the very first times since he's so used to motorcycle racing. So, yeah, that's one of those great storylines, is that it is such a generational thing. You know, the Vacholtz name is so synonymous, especially here in Southern Colorado with the hill climb. And seeing these legacies come on, it's just exciting to see how the race is continuing to evolve, but yet keep that tradition and that legacy throughout the area.
Absolutely. And that story itself with Clinton Cody is just amazing. And Cody has been up there in Clint's car a couple times doing time trials, and he's fast. He is really fast. So it'll be exciting to see if he can break his dad's time from last year. And, you know, the other great thing about the Vacholtz family is this is all the behind the scenes mm-hmm. things that no one even knows is their family for years and years and years. Actually works up there and helps us on the back end with our backup hand timing. So we have our live timing, obviously, where that's how the competitors get their times. But if you don't have times, you don't have a race. And so we obviously need a backup plan. And the Vacholtz family has been leading that up. And they're up there every morning as early as they can be with their stopwatches and their backup hand timers. And they are phenomenally good. The times come in within the hundredth of a second with our live timing. So it's stories like this that happen all over the place on Pikes.
Exactly. It is such it's a one in a million type of race, really, where you have such an international draw, and you've got some famed racers like Ramon Dumas. We've got Rhys Millen, you know, legendary names. You know, we had Monster Tajima for so many years coming from Japan, and yet you have so many local racers as well who see this in their backyard day in and day out and decide to race. So it has got such a great overall, you know, draw in of what, six divisions this year. So we're gonna have a little bit of everything going from the more traditional, what you'd think of with Pikes Peak, the open wheel, those kind of old schools, to really the high end purpose built cars that are just going up there for one reason and one reason alone.
Yeah, absolutely. We have six divisions, and as you mentioned, we have the more traditional open wheel, and then we have all the way to our unlimited division. And literally, where in racing can you find a rule book that the rules for the unlimited division, it's less than a page.
Yeah.
Basically says, whatever you can do, however you want to modify your car to make it the best and the fastest you can for Pikes Peak, do it. Obviously following all the safety standards and everything along those lines. And then this is the fourth year now, maybe fifth, of our Porsche division. It's the Porsche Pikes Peak Trophy by Yokohama division. And this is really cool because it's our first spec class or first spec division.
Yeah.
So basically we have six competitors. I think there's five or six. There's five this year. Tanner Faust being the headliner of that division, but they're all in the same vehicle. So it's really exciting to see. It's not just testing now, you know, what tweaks you can make to your vehicle to make it the fastest, but for this division, it's like, who's the best driver, right?
Yeah, so you've got guys like Tanner Faust. He's really well-known, especially on the rally circuit, the American version of Top Gear for years, going up against Ramon Dumas, the overall time record, and seeing, you know, as you'd mentioned, how that driving skill compares, because Ramon's going to be in the same car as Tanner, just, you know, not in a purpose-built multi-million-dollar VW to attack the mountain. So seeing where it comes down to just that guy behind the wheel, all competing in the same car. And yet, you know, it is Pikes Peak. It is America's mountain. And you've also got guys going up in a classic, you know, 40s F-150 diesel truck on the same race day as you have these Porsches. You've got Bentleys. You've got everything. So it is such a unique experience that really it is a one-of-a-kind event. And really kudos to you guys for keeping it up. I know the past 2 years especially have been challenging, but it wouldn't be summer in Colorado Springs without the hill climb.
You're spot on, Andrew. One thing just to correct really quick, Romain's actually not in the club sport division. He is in a Porsche, though, and that does get a little confusing. Our Porsche division is the club sport vehicles. when Romain is going to be, he is in a club sport, but his is going to be extremely modified. It's a 2019 Porsche 911 GT2 RS club sport. So he will be in a different division. But you're spot on with everything you said about that club sport division, getting to see those guys go against each other in the same spec cars.
Exactly. And it is such a unique experience, and spectators allowed back on the mountain again. We'll talk about that as we continue on with the Extra right here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. Welcome back to the Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers. Joining me this whole hour has been Megan Lathan, the executive director of the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, and we are getting ready for race day. One of the things we've talked about so much, the lack of spectators last year, obviously COVID-19 put a damper on a lot of that, but Megan, we have spectators allowed back along the side of America's Mountain this year, cheering on the racers. And if people haven't been up to the race in person, I really haven't experienced that, what can they expect as they head up to America's Mountain?
First off, we are so excited to welcome our spectators back on Pikes Peak. You know, last year, again, we were really happy to have the race, but it just wasn't the same without the best fans in the world. So we are pumped to have everyone back. If you're brand new to Pikes Peak, I will say that spectating on Pikes Peak is one of the most unique visual experiences you'll ever have. Here we have, you know, the juxtaposition of nature and sunrises and above the clouds, and then all of a sudden the quiet mountain turns into an auto sport event. So getting to see that in person is like nothing you've ever experienced before. Logistically though, Andrew, there is quite a lot to it for mm-hmm. spectators. For example, we have to get everyone up and in place using the same road that we eventually turn over to be the race course. So with that being said, the gateway actually opens to anyone with spectators at anyone with tickets at 2:30 a.m. I know that sounds early, but with the green flag starting at 7:30, as I mentioned, we need to get everyone up and in their areas and in plenty of time. So the best thing to do is arrive early and be patient and check out the spectator viewing areas prior. Have a plan, know exactly where you want to view from, and get parked and cleared, and you can sleep in your car until the green flag.
Exactly, and it's one of the only times that you can actually camp on Pikes Peak as well, so that's a great experience as well if you're that bold. Again, you know, the mountain always has its own different climate because it will go through all the different climates in one day, so if you are heading up, definitely bring a change of clothes, if not four or five. Just get ready for all the different things that'll come at you. If you want to be a part of that group of spectators, we do have a pair of tickets. Caller 6 right now, 473-1240, caller 6, in honor of the 6 divisions racing on the 27th, will win a pair of tickets to the Broadmoor Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, brought to you by Gran Turismo.
You're getting good. You got it down.
I got to get practiced up before Sunday. So the winner will get the pair of tickets. And again, you know, it's a one-in-a-lifetime thing. But then again, they're also still literally standing along the side of the course. I don't know of any other race you can get this close to the action, this close to the course, which brings its own set of challenges.
Absolutely. So when we implemented spectator zones maybe eight or nine years ago, I know there was some hesitancy at first, but what people have to understand is our spectator zones are huge. So if you decide you want to watch from Halfway Picnic Grounds or Devil's Playground, there is plenty of space to watch from. And we do have fences, but they're low down. You can still see over them, and you can spread out. At Devil's Playground, you know, there's people all over kind of the uphill side. Our biggest thing is obviously we want to keep everyone safe because, as you know, it's a hot race course and these competitors are going at record speeds. But there is still an incredible viewing experience for all of our spectators.
Yeah, and that's just one thing to keep reiterating. It is a hot race course. It gets turned over from the local authorities to being an officially sanctioned race course when the mountain shuts off. But these cars are spaced out, so you may have a little bit of a lull in the action. Doesn't mean it's, you know, very easy to just, you know, cross the side, maybe change up that viewing aspect. This is still, it's like watching NASCAR if it was a one-way course and they were, what, maybe, you know, 7 to 10 minutes apart from each other.
Yeah, so we release the cars. It definitely depends when and how quickly we release the cars from each other. There is a method to our madness. Typically, it's about we release the cars about 4 minutes apart, Andrew. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that changes based on the run order and qualifying. We want to make sure that the cars have enough time in between each other. But we also, our goal is to eliminate as many red flags as possible. So let's say we had 7 competitors on the course, and someone at the very top had a mechanical or a crash. That means the 6 cars on course behind them all have to get turned around, all have to go back down, and all have to get refueled and ready to go again. That delay itself could be up to 2 hours. Now, if we only have 4 competitors on course or 3 and there's a red flag, there's less risk of turnarounds and that sort of thing.
Exactly, and congratulations to Thomas. He is our winner of these tickets here. Pick them up at KRDO's studios here on South 8th Street. We've got the tickets waiting for you, and again, thank you for listening. Thomas, we know the race as well has touched so many people, but this year we're also celebrating some lives that have touched so many in the racing community that we have lost throughout the course of the year. And let's talk with one of the biggest names, maybe not one of the most well-known as far as the racers, but Tom Osborne, such a huge name in sports here in Colorado Springs, such a pillar of the sporting community and very much a champion and supporter of the race for so many years. And let's talk about the legacy that Tom is leaving here at the Hill Climb.
So Tom has been the chairman of the board for, I think, about 10 years now, and in my direct boss, and man, one of my best friends, honestly, Andrew. He was a very, very good man. He passed away suddenly at the age of 65 on March 10th. And, you know, he was one of the main springboards of getting this race back on the map. This, you know, about 10 to 15 years ago, the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb was in a little bit of financial struggles and really just trying to find its footing. And what Tom did when he came in and really helped booster this event and get the international draw that we needed back. And I can honestly say that this event wouldn't be where it is right now without Tom and his leadership, and let alone Pikes Peak. He was just in the fabric of the community, the CEO of Sports Corporation, helping, you know, run Rocky Mountain State Games, the Labor Day liftoff, airstrip attack. You know, if there's something in Colorado Springs or in the Pikes Peak region with sports, Tom had his finger on it, and this race is dedicated to him, and he's in all of our hearts, and it's hard to do without him, but we know that that's exactly what he wants us to do, is put on the best race we can.
Exactly. And a couple other legendary names as well. You know, we have, you know, now 2 Unsers, Bobby and Bobby Jr. Unser, that both recently passed away as well. And that just shows the legacy that this mountain has had, is that you had these well-known names, and now you're having, you know, generations now in the history books as far as the legendary racers, the impact that they've had on America's mountain.
Absolutely. Losing Bobby and Bobby Unser Jr., as you mentioned, I mean, they were their legacies, and their legacy is in the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb. You know, Bobby Unser was inducted into our Hall of Fame last year in 2020. So it was great that he was able to be out here for that. And it was a really special moment to induct him. And yeah, with Bobby Unser Jr.'s passing was a little bit unexpected as well. And that just happened a few days ago.
Yeah, it's just a credit to the draw of America's Mountain. You know, you have these legendary names, but then, you know, you have so many people thinking that we've got to continue on, and it's really building that legacy and really helping to honor the people that made this race such a success. You know, the Unsers, Tom Osborne, everyone that's touched this mountain, it's part of keeping their legacy and their, you know, passion for this race alive year in and year out, and especially as we approach the 100th running of the Broadmoor Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, that it is such an important event to keep on, and really it's the way to honor these people's legacy. And again, it is going to be such a, you know, amazing day. It's definitely going to be a mixture of emotions. I know you've mentioned it already, you know, honoring, you know, people like Tom, who had such a hands-on approach, really bringing the race back to prominence, but still doing it without him and honoring that legacy as well. And it's going to be a fantastic race already coming up this weekend. Next weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be here before we blink, Andrew. Actually, it is here if you ask me.
Yeah.
But yeah, June 27th, we are excited. The green flag gets dropped at 7:30. I know KRDO is going live at 7 a.m. and they'll be doing the flag coverage. Do you know how many years it's been now?
I don't. I'm trying to find that.
Yeah.
But it has been as long as I can remember.
Me too. So I've been here 10 years and at least that, if not longer and longer. And we can't thank you all enough for that amazing coverage.
Yeah. And again, you know, it is our pleasure. It is a treasure here in Colorado Springs to be able to do that and to be able to partner with you guys and keep this race going on. And of course, there is so many ways that everyone can be a part of the race week, really get involved, ways to follow along with the coverage. Obviously, you know, my favorite way is on the radio. I might be just a little bit biased, but there's so many ways to keep up with all of the action, and we'll continue breaking that down still ahead here on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, and this hour we've been talking about the Broadmoor Pikes Peak International Hill Climb. We're gearing up for the 99th running of the Race to the Clouds, and it is an amazing event. If you haven't been a part of it, haven't really been, you know, dug into it, it is a perfect time to get invested, get re-engaged with the race again. You know, we're in the 99th running, so next year it's going to be all out for the 100th running. And Megan, there's a lot of ways that people can get involved, can participate, get really, you know, kind of geared up for races, especially with it coming up so quickly.
Absolutely. So if you're unable to attend race day, which is on June 27th, again, fans are welcome back. We don't have any COVID limits on spectators or anything like that. So we do encourage everyone to come to Pikes Peak and check it out. But if you're unable to make it on race day, we have a couple things going on throughout the week. First off, on Monday, June 21st, that is where we have our tech inspection. So this is at the Broadmoor World Arena, and it is a really amazing chance to see all the vehicles because they all have to go through tech to make sure they meet our safety standards and our rules. And that is from 9 to 4 down at the Broadmoor World Arena. It's free. It's open to the public. We're doing merchandise and ticket sales there. And then unfortunately, we are not having Fan Fest this year. Obviously a really hard decision. We, you know, it wasn't till maybe early June where we thought maybe the COVID limits would allow us to have a 30,000 person street festival in downtown. But at that point in time, it was just too late for us operationally to put it on. So look out for next year, 2022, though, because that's going to be back and with fury.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so much pent up energy for a lot of these public events, you know, just wait for the, you know, Fan Fest to come back, one of the last major events, you know, that we're really looking forward to. And it's going to be such a great party, kicking off that 100th running next year, which is a milestone in and of itself, that we're hitting 100 races up America's mountain.
Yeah, next year is just, I mean, it boggles my mind to even think about it. It is going to be insane and definitely a sight to see. But this year with no Fan Fest, there is another opportunity on Friday evening. We have partnered with the Switchbacks. So we will have a booth with our pace car and our Parade of Champions car in their fan zone. And that's going to be from 5 to 7 before their game. And that's going to be just outside of the new Switchback Stadium, and that's on Friday, June 25th. Again, that's a place where we're going to have merch, tickets, ticket sales, program sales, and then there's also a discount to that soccer game as well. So, again, just tying in everything with the community, and that's another exciting place to come down and grab some swag or programs or tickets.
Or all of the above, really.
Exactly.
And of course, one of the big ways that, you know, it helps us, you know, on the broadcast team, and I'll admit it, is the app, the Hill Climb app as well. You have live timing, you have all the information, you've got so much right at the tip of your finger. So if you are heading up to America's Mountain, you'd be surprised how many areas, especially the spectator spots, there is service. I know there's also some Wi-Fi availability as well for some people. You're able to get that, but you can have, you know, the live timing, you know, almost as quick as the racers get it with those unofficial results through the app as well.
Yeah, the app is phenomenal for anyone that doesn't have it. Download it. It's all the competitors' information, everything right at your fingertips. Additionally, we did launch a new podcast, Andrew. We're really excited about it. It's called Turn 156. That's in tune with how many turns there are on Pikes Peak. It's definitely worth checking out. We just launched it. We call it Episode Zero. So our first episode has been released, and you can find that on any places you find podcasts. Additionally, obviously on race day, if we want to talk coverage, there's the radio broadcast here with KRDO, flag-to-flag coverage starting at 7 a.m. and going until the last competitor reaches the summit. And then there is a live stream as well this year, Andrew. We did it last year as well. You can catch it on KRDO on the, it's going to be on the,
yeah, we'll have a page on it on race day as well. So we'll have a takeover on that day. So just head on over to KRDO.com. We'll have our radio stream. We'll have the live stream of the video coverage. If you want to maybe mute the live stream, listen to the radio coverage. I'm not going to stop you on that. But it's definitely a great experience. And there are so many ways to get involved with the race. Just head on over to ppihc.org. Find you guys on all these social media platforms. The podcast is amazing. And again, just get on out to America's Mountain. There are still plenty of opportunities to get those tickets. It is a one-in-a-lifetime experience that you've got to take advantage of. Again, the Race to the Clouds is on Sunday, June 27th. Megan, thank you so much for joining us this morning, for really everything you do, for everything you do to put the effort in to get this race going year in and year out, and can't wait for race day.
Well, thank you, Andrew, and we can't say enough about the partnership with KRDO, and we can't say enough about it. The radio broadcast is such a huge component to let our local listeners and around the world know what's happening on race day. So thank you.
No problem. It is our pleasure. And again, you guys make it all possible as well. That does it here for The Extra. We have Tom Martino still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM.